Thank you, Pastor. Yes, it's a joy to be here. I was over in Shelbyville, Tennessee last year in a meeting. I've been preaching at a meeting for several years, Victory Baptist Church, and I met a young pastor from just outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the Lord kind of just knit our hearts together. And so I was sharing some thought about a message, and he said, could I have that? And I said, well, sure. And so he texted me back and said, I preached that. I said, praise God. He had a 15-year-old daughter that sung a special that morning in the service and did a good job. She turned 16 years old on the 25th day of November. And just a few days after that, she stepped out into the woods back of their house and with a pistol took her life. You don't know who you're preaching to. And you don't know the needs and behind the faces. But I'm glad I know somebody who does. His name is Jesus. There's heartaches everywhere. I've talked about three pastors today that's just really in dire circumstances as far as their physical is concerned. My friend John O'Neill is, we preached together, I preached for him, we preached together a lot of times. His wife went home to be with the Lord less than a year ago. He's had several falls, but he's got a blood clot on his brain. And he wants so much to preach and so much to be involved in the ministry, but he can't live by himself anymore. So he's moved to Wallen, Tennessee to stay with one of his daughters. And Brother Ben referenced this verse to me tonight, Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. That's what one of the poets said. But I'm glad that it's in him that we live and move and have our being. Amen. Here's a dear brother that's been in his home. His kidneys are failing him. He's in a wheelchair. Now he's got heart problems. And the doctor said, if we should inject the dye to run the test on your heart, it would kill the remaining of your kidneys. And he said, no, sir, I think I'd rather have a heart attack. He's a good man. His name is Van McClung. And I'm saying folk are hurting everywhere we go. And our God is a very present help in trouble. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad of who he is. You can trust him. You can trust the reality of his person. He's a real God. He's not a make-believe God. He is God. Amen. You can trust him for the veracity of his promises. What he says, he will do. You can trust him for the greatness of his power. You can trust him for the wisdom of his plan. And you can trust him for the nearness of his presence. Hallelujah. When I plowed a mule a few days ago, sometime we'd be in new ground, and in order to cut a deeper rut, we kind of lift up on the handles a little bit, and it would run down. It run a deeper cut, and I'm asking God, the Holy Spirit, to lift up the handles tonight and plow a little deeper. A man walked out last night, I don't know, but he hugged my neck and said, preacher, God help me tonight. And I want to say that's worth every hour, worth every mile, I'm saying that's what we want. We want God to help us. It's not the preacher that does a helping. It's God who does a helping. But I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel that God could tip my vessel and be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. I invite your attention tonight to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, I want to share with you a few thoughts tonight from John's Gospel, chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I could preach 30 minutes there. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to preach tonight from that text verse, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. I pray that you'd do what men cannot do. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs that's blessed our heart and reminded us of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I do pray tonight that you'd anoint these feeble lips, and Lord, that you might speak to me and speak through me. And may this be profitable time. I pray that you'd bind Satan and his adversaries, and Lord, that you'd get glory for yourself. I do pray for my preacher brethren tonight. Lord, those who are hurting, those who have major need, I ask you, Lord, to be merciful to them, manifest your presence in their life, and encourage them tonight, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Amen. The incarnate Christ displays his glory. The incarnate Christ. Glory is associated with his birth. The glory is associated with his birth. And with all the future appearings of Christ. And he said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. In the Gospel of John, the incarnate Christ, the incarnate Word, is seen in all his glory. According to Isaiah 42, he said, "My name, I'm the Lord, that's my name. And I'll not share my glory with any man." And that's not quoting it correct. But in the book of Jeremiah chapter 9, the Bible talks about verse 23, 24, that we're to glory. If we want to glory, we glory in the Lord. And by the way, he deserves the glory. It's not about you and not about me. It's all about him. 12th chapter of John, verse 32, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." So I want to emphasize about four little things tonight about the glory of our God. And we'll see these aspects associated with his person, the glory of his person, the glory of his power, the glory of his passion, and the glory of his present position. I say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done for us. Amen. We didn't deserve it. No. We got what we deserve. We'd all be in hell tonight with our back broken, with gasoline breeches on. I'm saying God's been merciful to us, and God has been gracious to us, and his glory is manifested in the person of his dear son. And so I want to say, first of all, the glory of his person in verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the display of glory when viewing the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the eternal word of God made flesh. It seems that that references to his person, that is the character of his grace and the character of his truth. Notice with me, verse 18, the Bible said in John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He said, where is he? The Son who resides in the Father's bosom has revealed the invisible God. Amen. Yes. In John 4:24, the Bible said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now, there's folk today that's got some erroneous ideas about God and about the word of God and about the work of God and about the church of God. I hear people from time to time said, well, I'm not a member of any of these local churches. I'm a member of the big church, the invisible church. Well, I wonder who the pastor is for that invisible church. I wonder who the officers are for that invisible church. And I'm gonna let that invisible church support them financially.
Amen.
I'm saying thank God for the church. Christ died for the church. He loves the church. Amen. He gave a pastor to the church. He gave deacons to the church. He gave ordinance to the church. He gave a commission to the church. And if we do what he says do, he'll be glorified. And so in Hebrews chapter number 1, notice them in Hebrews chapter number 1. Let's look at Hebrews 1 and verse number 1. And the Bible said, God, who at sundries times in a divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so I'm saying this, God hath revealed himself in his Son. And so the Son of God, listen to me, the Son of God is more than a messenger. He is the message. Amen. That's what's needed today. The message of Christ. Amen. Presenting Christ to a lost and dying world. He is the brightness of his glory, express image of his person. And so John's account of the incarnation can be summed up in four words. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And so the Lord Jesus did what? He tabernacled with man. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. He tabernacled among men. And just like in the Old Testament tabernacle, the glory of God was resident in the tabernacle, but it's resident in him. Amen.
Amen.
If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. He's doing what? Manifesting the glory of God the Father. And so John could say that the glory of the only begotten, the one and only of the Father, was made visible. He's made visible. It was the glory of his person. And it's the moral glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this glory is shown in all that he did and all that he said. And so it's displayed. What has he displayed? He displays his glory by grace and truth.
Amen.
Not just grace and not just truth, but he displays his glory by grace and truth. How, that'd be a good time for independent fundamental Baptists to say, amen. Praise God. Listen, I'm glad he manifests his glory. How? By grace and truth. That's how he dealt with me, by grace and truth. That's how he dealt with you, by grace and truth. That's how he saved sinners, by grace and truth. Amen. Don't get excited about it now. Listen, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. How many men? All men. The grace of God. The grace of God. And so I'm saying grace was revealed on earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace brings salvation to all men. Our Lord Jesus Christ, his lips were filled with grace. And so he never had to apologize for anything he said. He never had to retract any statement that he made. He's full of grace and truth. I'm saying Colossians 4:6, he said we're to let our speech be seasoned with grace. And so you and I, who are saved by grace through faith because of truth, ought to be displaying the glory, the glory of God through our lives. I'm afraid we've got too many folks who have watered down and compromised the reality of Scripture. And so we do what? We are to be displayers of grace. Grace brings salvation. And so his lips was filled with grace so that his speech was always gracious. I've said this so many times, but I believe a person who is filled with the Spirit of God takes on the character of God. They'll not be obnoxious. They'll not be arrogant. Amen. The Spirit of God, you feel the Spirit of God, you take on the character of God. And so you understand. Well, listen, that's command to be filled with the Spirit of God. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God, then Christ will be seen through our life and he'll be glorified. And so I come back to this. Grace brings salvation to all men. And there was an overflow of abundant grace, of supernatural grace. Notice what it said again in verse number 16. For the law was given by Moses. Law was given by Moses. But what? Grace and truth came. How did it come? How did it get here? By Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It was the display of grace in touching the lives of others that led them to say in the book of Mark chapter 7 and verse number 37, he hath done all things well. Hallelujah. He, and I want to say amen to that. He hath done all things well. And notice them again, the book of 1 Peter. In the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2, let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, and I believe we want to look at verse number 22 of 1 Peter chapter number 2. And the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22, he said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And notice what the previous verse said. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should grumble and complain and gripe and make excuses and hate. No. That he said that you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. If he glorified the Father and you're saved, you ought to be glorifying the Father too.
Amen.
And so I'm reminded that there's a glory of the Lord Jesus. Never had to retract a word, apologize for a saying of being wrong. It was true of him that his grace was always seasoned. It was always seasoned. His speech always seasoned with grace. And so the Lord Jesus is not only, listen, he's displaying grace and truth, but it's truth. The Lord Jesus also is truth in the flesh.
Amen.
You know what you need tonight is the truth. You know what you shy away? You shy away from the truth when it comes to you, when the application's made. How many times have we said, man, you know, that's right, that's what God said in the Word, and that's that I agree with 100%, but I'm not going to act on it. I'm just going to say amen to what's said, but it's not going to affect me anyway. Something's wrong. And so we ought to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. We ought to be displaying grace and truth. Jesus said, he could say, I am truth. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am truth. And so the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. And here's what will happen. I thought about it today. I thought about it several times today. 14th chapter of the book of John and verse number 26, I believe it is. He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will bring, what's he going to do? He's going to bring all things to your remembrance. We got a remembering problem.
Amen.
We forget where God brought us from.
Amen.
We forget about the grace of God that displays in our life day by day. But the Spirit of God, I'll tell you, you get real with God, and the Spirit of God will bring to remembrance what God has done, what God's requirements are. And that'll be revival. When we get back to, and so we don't have to come to the altar and say, "Dear God, if I have sinned." No, 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 no. It's not if I have sinned. It is I have sinned. I've been unfaithful. Didn't read my Bible. Haven't prayed. Hello? Hadn't witnessed. It's kind of quiet, isn't it? Hey, I'm saying to you, he's displaying grace and truth. But he's displaying the glory of God by grace and truth. And so God help our words to be pleasing to the Lord. May we, God, put a guard on our lips. I've said a lot of things I wish I'd never said. Wish I could grab them and pull them back, but I can't. But I'm going to be accountable to God for them. And so he'll bring to my remembrance. I remember very vividly, I made a very bad move in relation to my mother. Years ago, when I left to go to Tennessee Temple Schools, and some actions that I did toward my mom that I've regretted to this day. I apologize to my mom, but it's burnt indelibly right there. And the Spirit of God reminds me of God's goodness and God's grace. I want to say while I'm passing by tonight, I'm certainly grateful for a faithful wife. I'm grateful for how God in his providence brought us together on a school bus in 1958. Been riding the same bus ever since. But I'm grateful for her help. And she's never balked at what God wanted me to do. And I remind particularly young preachers that your wife can enhance your ministry. She can endanger your ministry. Or she can end your ministry. I know some fellas that's not in the ministry tonight that had a desire to be there because they had an unfaithful wife. You said, "What's that got to do with the glory of God?" Everything. So the glory of his person, he's made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. So he wants to know the truth about God. He's not a cross between Grandpa and Santa Claus. Right. He's not the man upstairs. Right. Right. He's God, and he deserves glory. And by the way, I don't believe in heaven that there's going to be a spit and whittle club. I don't believe you're going to be around twiddling your thumbs. I believe that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We'll be crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Hey, I'm saying to you, you ought to practice some down here. And so truth by its very nature is absolute. And truth by its nature is exclusive. It contains the idea of truthfulness, which is seen in the character, in the conduct, and in the conversation of our Lord Jesus Christ. If it was seen in his life, Brother Ben, may God help us that it would be seen in our lives. Listen, character, conduct, conversation, vitally important. When folks see you, do they see the Lord? Are they mindful of the Lord Jesus? I'm saying the glory of his person was in full display while he walked on the earth. I could preach another 30 minutes there, but I'm going to mention the next point and say this. I want you to turn to the second chapter of the Gospel of John, and I want to speak a word about the glory of his power. We beheld the glory. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory of his person, the glory of his power. Now, in John chapter 2, this is the account when Jesus and his disciples was invited to the marriage supper in Cana of Galilee. And they ran short on wine. And the Lord turned the water into wine. The Lord did not turn the water into an intoxicating beverage, but he turned the water into wine. Now I want you to see with the glory of his power. his works and his power, or should I say it this way, his works or power manifested his glory. Now, this is the first miracle recorded in John's gospel. These beginnings of miracles did Jesus. And the disciples believed on him there. Now, in this case, we see the display of his grace and truth in turning water into wine. Now, the disciples were instructed by Mary. She said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I said before, there probably wasn't independent Baptists, because they'd have probably said, well, we'll take it up at the next business meeting. Or we'll pray about it. They simply did what? They filled the water pots with water right up to the brim. That's the first thing the Lord asked them to do. And the Lord did a unseen inner work in those water pots. And the water was made wine. Symbolic of joy. Now, they were sitting there before them. How many water pots? 6 water pots. They were made of stone. They were empty pots. And it's interesting to me that after this occasion, there's 6 other individuals that the Lord deals with in John's gospel. He deals with Nicodemus in John 3, the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4. Those water pots were symbolic of a Jewish ritual. They were there for the purifying of the Jews, for the cleansing. And it spoke of their inability to satisfy the longing and need of their heart. So God doesn't ask you to turn any water into wine. Amen. But he does ask you to pour in the water of the Word.
Amen. Amen.
And when you put the water of the Word, by the way, we've got too many people trying to do the Holy Spirit's work. It's our responsibility to put the water, the Word of God, into the hearts of empty vessels.
Amen. Amen.
Then Jesus passed by. Amen. And he did that inner work.
Amen.
There was folks that God was fingering around in the heart last night. He was doing some inside work. And it wasn't seen by Brother Reed or Brother Bryant, but God was working. Oh, praise God. I'm grateful to hear about when God does that. But it's not my responsibility. It's not my responsibility to try to make Christians, or I can't save a soul, but I can do what? I can pour out the water of the Word. I can give the water of the Word. And you could go on and see, and those other 4 and those 6 water pots could very well identify those 6 others that he dealt with. He dealt with a nobleman's son. He dealt with that fellow down at the Pool of Bethesda. In John chapter 9, he dealt with a blind man that was born blind. And they're questioning him about what happened. He said, there's a lot of things I don't know, but there's one thing I do know. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. It was the Lord who did that. Amen. And then there was 11th chapter of John. There's Lazarus who died. And Jesus said, this was for the glory of the Lord in verse number 4. And so the glory of his power. Anytime anyone gets helped spiritually, it is God that's working in you.
Amen.
He works in us,
yes,
that he might work through us.
Right.
And we've got a lot of folks who won't God to work through them, but they don't want God to work in them.
Right, right.
And I'm going to tell you that it's not going to happen until God works in your heart. Yeah, if you're lost here tonight, listen, I can give you the water of the word. I can tell you that Jesus saved. I can tell you you need to be saved, but I can't save you. I can't change your life. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The Spirit of the living God takes that word, and it does what? He pricks your heart to help you realize your need, points you to the Lamb of God, and draws you to Christ, and you get born again by the grace of God. And you too manifest the glory of God. Anytime anybody gets saved, God is glorified.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want God to be glorified in what I do and say.
Amen.
And so there's the glory of his power. And I could preach 30 minutes there, but I'm going to move to the third point. There's the glory of his person, the glory of his power. And then notice this. The Lord did that enter unseen work that transformed water into wine. And these, the encounters with the others, can be grouped in three different couplets of two, but I'm not going to deal with that part. I want you to see with me tonight. They were faced with hopeless situations, and their religion and their religious beliefs could not remedy it. But their lives was changed when they met the Lord, when they got born again. And so all of these lives, the work was unseen. It was on the inside, and it produced wholeness, satisfaction, and joy.
Amen.
It does every time.
Yes.
Wholeness, satisfaction, and joy. The service part in chapter 2 was just to do what the Lord said to them. They poured the water in, had no power to cause the inner transformation. So it's today as we minister the gospel. Notice with me the third thing. 12th chapter of John. John chapter 12. In the 12th chapter of John, we see the glory of his passion. In John chapter 12, let's look at, if you would please, 12th chapter of John and verse number, let's look at verse number 27 and verse number 28. Jesus said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, the glory, the aspect of his glory, the glory of his passion. I want to say in response to the request, in John chapter 12, along about verse 21, there was certain Greeks who came up to the feast day, and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. And by the way, that's what they need to see when they come to Hermon Baptist Tabernacle. That's what they need to see in your life, in my life. Sirs, we would see Jesus. We've seen what promotion can do, and we've seen what religion can produce, but we need to see Jesus. Amen. High and lifted up. We're to see him. We're to exalt him. We're to do what we do for the glory of the Lord. Whether eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we're to do all to the glory of God. Now, they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Up until this time, Jesus had said, the hour is not yet come. John chapter 7, verse number 8. My time is not fully come. And then in chapter 12, verse 28, he said in 28, he said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And so here's the response from heaven. It is that it has been done already and it will be done again. Amen. The Father, I'm saying in context, it's referencing to the cross, and it's in view. John chapter 12, verse 24. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground, died by its alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, we see references to the cross as well as the resurrection and the ascension. And that they're all presented there. And also the subject of the Lord's Prayer. Notice with me John 17 and verse number 1, he said this, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. At one point he's saying, my hour is not yet come. Now he said, my hour is come, and he's asking God to glorify. Now, understand this, that the glory of the cross is first and foremost is that the Father's will was done. It was accomplished beyond his attributes. They were displayed. Mercy and truth met each other. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. And the love of the Father is fully seen at the cross when he gave his only begotten Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He gave himself as a sacrifice for us. The cross is also the glory of the Lord Jesus in redemption. At the cross, he was a sacrificial lamb. As the cross, he was a substitutionary offering. At the cross, he was a shepherd who died for the sake of the flock. And at the cross, he defeated Satan's power over death and freed us from the bondage of fear. Thank God I've been set free by the grace of God because of God's glory. He satisfied the just demands of the law, and he paid the price in full for our sin. The Father is glorified. The Father glorified the Son in the cross, and ever since then, his people have given him glory because of his love to us. Hey, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? We love him because he first loved us. And again, through all of eternity, worship and glory will be given to the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The glory of his person, the glory of his power, and the glory of his passion. Notice the last thought is this: the glory of his position, his present position. 17th chapter of John, verse 1, these things spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, this the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Notice verse 5. And he said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. It wasn't that he never had glory. He did have glory and laid that aside to go to an old rugged cross that you and I might have abundant life. Now, Father's request of the Lord, he said, the further request of the Lord is Jesus is in regard to the glory of the cross. And so the request has to do with restoration. The restoration of the former glory in view of the finished work at Calvary. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I'm my Lord's and he is mine. Could I say to you, it's like this. It's positional glory. Where is he tonight? He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What's he doing? He's making intercession for us. Hallelujah. He's my advocate. He's my lawyer. He's my representative. Hey, he's seated. His work was complete. And listen, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the glory of his present position. Now, I'm saying this. He's given an exalted place. Notice with me the book of Ephesians chapter 1. In the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, I want to look with me, please. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 1 in the Bible reads this way. He said, verse number 20, he said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, what am I saying? He's saying this. He's giving an exalted place. He seated him at the right hand of, it's a heavenly place. The Lord Jesus Christ is right now on the right hand of the majesty on high. He is over all things. He is the head of the church. He's been given a more excellent name than the angels. And he's given a name that is above every name. He's the great high priest. He's a chief shepherd, and he's a heavenly bridegroom. And praise God, one of these days soon, he's going to break through the blue and cry, come up hither! there, and we'll be with him for all eternity. I said, glory to his name. Praise God for who he is and what he's done in your life and in my life. The word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Would you bow with us in prayer? Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. I pray in Jesus' name that we might give you the glory due to you, and that we might live our lives in such a way to display grace and truth, and that you'd be glorified through our lives. I pray there'd be one here tonight who doesn't know the end of free part of sin, that you might deal with that heart. Lord, do that inner work, that unseen work. Oh, what a need in all of our lives for you to work in us. Would you do that tonight? And I pray that you'd accomplish your purpose. Thank you for all you'll do in Jesus' name. God's dealt in your heart. God spoke to you. Altar's open. Would you stand with us, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask you to do one thing. Mind God. I think of a scene one day as we stand at the judgment seat, and the Lord opens the books and my life comes into review. I'd like to hear the Lord say to me, it was all just like I planned it. But I'm sorry to say, I don't think that'll happen. Because I've blocked him here, I've checked him there, I've resisted over there, but I want God to get glory through my life. Will you come if God's spoken to you?